Hello, welcome to Star Wars Spelt Out. I'm your host, Josh Chapman, and today, oh, new trailer day. What day is it, sir? Son, tell me what day it is. It's new trailer day. And before we go any further, let's just roll. Let's get it on. If you're going to get new Star Wars content and you're going to get stuff that requires a little bit of knowledge, you want to bring the king in. Let's bring him on. King Tom Chansky. What a pleasure to see you again, my friend.
Thank you for having me so much, Josh. It's always great to talk with you. And, you know, when you asked to talk a few days ago before we knew there was a trailer, I'm like, okay, we're just going to talk about whatever. And now I don't know that I'm prepared to talk about this trailer.
You're more prepared than most. At least you've got that.
But yeah.
But yeah, it was just a happy coincidence, really. And we'd sort of talked last week about catching up and then kind of had some days that we were going to go, ah, this day might work, this day might work, this day is a better. And then it was just like, boom, the Acolyte trailer just drops overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very, you know, waiting for it, because we heard the show would come out in sometime this summer, and okay, hope to get it soon. And then yesterday we found out it's going to happen. I think it was like within 24 hours. So that
I like the quick drop. Do you like the quick drop, or do you prefer to go 3 weeks it's coming? Like,
I'm impatient. I love the quick drop.
Yeah, I'd rather that. I'd rather not know. Because I feel like that's too much. And I also don't like the trailer for the trailer. You know, here's 15 seconds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that.
Or the one that they do, YouTube's quite bad for this. Star Wars doesn't do it. But when they do the trailer for the trailer before when they've got the trailer, like they'll almost do, you know, like something trailer starts now in 5 seconds. Yeah. And I think that's apparently that there's some kind of algorithm thing or some kind of way of previewing something a certain way, or
I believe that. And yeah, it doesn't make the situation better, because you as a fan, you want to see the whole thing. I usually hate things like that, like we were talking about, and I apologize if you've already seen this, but I put out a tweet yesterday that I thought they missed a huge opportunity when they were teasing the trailer. They should have had a phone screen showing very poor quality video of the trailer from Celebration and the voiceover saying, for an entire year, people have seen the Acolyte trailer one way possible on the phone screen. But if you've seen it this way, you haven't see it again for the first time.
And then that red lightsaber flies out of the middle of the... I saw the Acolyte trailer at Celebration. So I've told this before.
Okay,
We didn't get into the Lucasfilm panel, but I went to... Where was I? No, I was at the...
Wait, is this like the first panel you haven't gotten into?
We got nothing.
Because I thought in Chicago and Anaheim, you were like Mr. Panel all over the place.
No, Anaheim, we got nothing, I think.
Okay.
Chicago, we got everything. Anaheim, we got nothing. London, we got a couple of things, but nothing, not the big one. I have to remember. I'm sure Catherine probably remembers it better than I do. But I was at the Star Wars, Star Wars is Drag panel. And I was sitting at the very front next to Molly from Star Wars Explained. And I was there for probably three quarters of it, and the Return of the Jedi 40th panel was starting. And it wasn't a ticketed panel. Mm-hmm. It was a rock-up panel. And I stupidly go, if I go now, I've got 15 minutes. I reckon I can just rock up, and I might try and get into there. And, of course, I ran down the thing and, you know, missed the end of Chase's panel. But anyway, I went down the thing, went past, and there was all these people. I'm going, this looks like a really long line. Is this the Return of the Jedi? You're like, yep. I'm going, great. Mm-hmm. So I got at the back, waited, and of course got nowhere near it. I thought, all right, well, blown that. And so I think it was sort of, you know, 10 minutes. What the other, you know, after it all been said and done. So I was walking down the thing and the other panel already finished. So there was no point going back there. And then I walked past one of the bigger rooms and the High Republic panel was on, and it was probably 10 minutes in. And I walked up to that and sort of, and I just went, is there any room? They said, there's a little bit of room at the back. They were in one of the big rooms. So it was pretty packed, but they had a bit of room. Got in, sat at the back, and I read a little bit of the High Republic comics. I'm not super into. Mm-hmm. We haven't read the books. I know a little bit of it, but you know, they got. I really like the fandom. I really like the passion that they have for it. So I thought, you know what, I'll just dip in. I've got time. I'll sit in the panel, and it was really good. And then at the end, they brought out Leslie Headland, and she said, "Hey, thanks for coming, High Republic. Here's a little treat for you. Here's the Acolyte trailer." So I got to see it for real skis on the big screen, which was very cool. And then I have watched the potato cam since then.
Yeah.
So did you?
I've seen that too.
Yeah. So you went for it. Did you see it not long after Celebration? Do you remember?
I think I saw it within like a week or two of Celebration.
Yep. I think only one got out. Version. I think that was the only one that got.
What I remember seeing, so the first one, it got cut off in the middle, and then a little while later, someone spliced together like the first one with the second half, which is in better quality and from a different angle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see whether they actually got it from the Acolyte panel, because I got a feeling that would have been a little bit more lax than the Lucasfilm panel as far as looking out for people. But I mean, you've been to Celebrations, you know, they're all there. The security.
Yeah. And when this one started, I was doing a reaction with the guys on the Sith list. And we all thought, because it starts the same way, we all thought, okay, it's the same thing that was at Celebration. It'll be nice to have in better quality. But then, you know, a few lines in, what do you think? And, okay, you realize, okay, this is something different.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that was...
Yeah. It's not... I mean, it's... It's not an ideal way to watch a trailer, really, is it? Yeah. It's only those weird situations where it is like you don't get the next, you know, normally if a trailer leaks, if something's shown a day or two early, you know, you wait a day or two and then, you know, the good version's out. Like, I think even Phantom Menace, I think I attempted to download, someone took it would have been like a proper, like on the shoulder, you know, VCR recorder thing. And I think that was the first way it got online. I only got a few frames in because I was on dial up, but.
Yeah, I was too. And then like 2 days later, I think it was on, at least here in the States, it was on Entertainment Tonight, which is like a news, entertainment news magazine show that's on every night.
Yeah.
And I knew about that. I recorded that on my VHS.
I did the exact same thing. That's how I saw
it. Wore out the VHS.
And I had it on, I had it on repeat. And that was, I don't know, that video, I'm sure that VHS is long gone now. But yeah, this is the unique potato cam. Somebody just sort of... You know, got their arm down, but trying to angle up and trying to have their phone down. It's an art form, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. It did look like the one big shot at the end where they all were igniting their lightsabers. It looked like that was from the side instead of head on.
Yeah. Yeah. There was definitely. So I watched the trailer and going, the start seemed reasonably similar. I haven't put side by side. I'm just going off what I've remembered, that there was a bit in the castle with the younglings and things. That seemed like there was at least some of that in the original one. The Carrie Ann Moss stuff in the bar or the saloon or wherever she is seemed quite similar. But yeah, the sort of the money shot, at least in the one at Celebration, was them all igniting the lightsabers, and it was sort of almost like that. But I think there was like a Knights of the Old Republic game trailer at one stage, you know, when there was about 50 red lightsabers that went up. It sort of felt like something like that. So when you, like when the Star Wars trailer drops, what do you plan your day around it? Do you have to go, I've got to make sure that there's nothing happening at, it was 2 a.m. in Australia. So I literally just watched it when I woke up. So.
Yeah, I try to. I'm lucky with my job where, if I don't have like a meeting going on or anything, my time is pretty flexible where I can work, quote unquote, after hours or whatever. And, you know, I can also kind of schedule time for myself. So I saw yesterday that it was coming out at 11 local time here. So I just put, you know, a half hour block in my calendar that basically don't bother me.
Taylor trailer time. We don't go into too much details, but let's just.
Right. And then I worked a little bit extra today to, you know.
That's all right, mate. I'm not HR. You don't need to rationalize yourself to me. Like, look, yeah. I made
but
the
hey,
time
you never
up.
Know
That's
who
all that
can
matters,
listen.
Okay? Yeah, I made the time up. Don't worry. You got your panda flesh, as they say.
Right. Exactly.
Do you just go phone? Do you go, now I got to get the external screen, iPad, or are you just sort of...
There have been times... So today I watched on my computer, which has like a 28-inch screen. Mm-hmm. And I did the reaction with the guys from the Sith List. And it was my first time like watching one with someone else. There have been times, I think for the Andor one. So I work remotely.
Yep.
The closest work location I have is like about an hour away from my house. And there was one time where everyone from my team was in town. And so I had to go in that whole week. And the Andor trailer, I think they released it like 8 local time. And I had pulled off the highway and I was running like 15 minutes early. And I had gotten off the highway, the exit for my work, just because you never know how traffic's going to be. So I pulled into a gas station parking lot and I watched on my phone.
I guess this vision of you, the way you're talking about, like, you're like Elwood Blues. You just like, you just pulled off to the, you know, the car just got this.
Cut across 15 lanes of traffic.
You know, you've got your phone watching the Andor trail and then you kind of just pull back on across the thing. I love the going, oh, sir, you've just pulled over to a service station suspiciously in your car and parked at the thing. You're like, what's going on over there, sir? Yeah. Like, oh, just watching the Andor trailer.
Star Wars trailer.
Yeah. Okay. It's important
Star Wars
stuff.
Trailer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's, yeah. I mean, the trailers tend to sort of, you know, we're quite lucky in Australia. We get the Disney Plus stuff in the evenings. They're back on that sort of, Ahsoka had the early drop, but for Bad Batch, they've gone back to the old schedule. So it means that we still get the sort of 6 p.m., 7 p.m. drops here in Australia, which are quite nice. But when it comes to trailers.
They're saying this is going back. They're saying Acolyte's going back to the Ahsoka timeline.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's coming out.
I mean, we still see
Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's still early for us, but it does mean that it drops during the day. So you do have a little bit of going, all right, am I going to stay off or I'm going to try and watch it at lunchtime and watch it? Like Ahsoka, I think, was a bit trickier because I tended to watch it sort of at lunch on my iPad. It wasn't like, oh, it's 7 p.m. The kids are going to bed. The lights are down. All of that kind of thing. So maybe it took a little bit away from the first viewing. So, but we'll see where we go with this one. Because I think with Acolyte, I'll probably get Kat to watch it. I think she'll be into it because she likes Russian Doll. Like, she really loved that show.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the sell. I go, oh, well, it's Leslie Headland who made Russian Doll, the show that you really liked. You know, Ahsoka going, it's that show with Dave Filoni, that person you don't know who exists. There's no sort of way in. And although she loved Andor, but that's more, no, Andor's Andor. It's quality television, whichever way you spin it, really. So it was an easier sell. But yeah, okay. All right. If they want to do it like that, I'll do the early drop. I think it kind of makes sense. I don't know why they've gone back to midnight for Bad Batch, really.
Yeah, I'm wondering that too. So although I watched some shows like The Mando and Obi-Wan, I would wake up early, wake up like an hour earlier and watch in the morning. But Bad Batch, I like the Bad Batch. I enjoy it. I look forward to watching it. I don't wake up early for the Bad Batch.
When I
watch
like,
during the day.
Hall's, you know, who was on a few weeks ago, is up to 1 a.m. or whatever it is watching to do all the... I mean, I know he's got sort of, you know, Patreon commitments and all that kind of stuff like that. I'm like, oh, man. It's just... I think I just get the good night's sleep, even if I had to get up at 6 and do it or something and do that. But, yeah.
Well, I know with YouTube, if you don't get it within the first hour or so, it just...
Yeah.
The algorithm pushes you all the way to the back.
Well, that's the thing. It's YouTube's a low priority around here. Like, even with the, you know, the podcast and stuff, that it's just, I'll get it out when I get it out. But that's the thing. Like, I got up this morning and gone, oh, Steel's got a reaction. You guys got a reaction. You know, Claire Imperial Senate podcast got a reaction. Molly and Alex got reactions. It's sort of... Yeah. You got to hit that if you've got that window to do it. But again, it was still the middle of the day in America, so some people don't have the luxury of just being able to jump on the computer as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
Is that Araj cracking the whip for you guys? He's like, okay.
No, I was the one who told him about it. I said, hey, you're doing a reaction. He's like, yeah, I think we will. I go, can I be on it? He's like, yeah. So I think he does crack the whip more for the other ones, the shows.
Yep.
But those are too late for me.
Yeah.
And I consider myself a nice night person, but they're on 3 a.m. here.
Oh, it's just, the level of commitment, I can't fathom that kind of level of commitment. Like, good on you if you can do it, but it's just, it's a bit of a step too far for me. So let's backtrack. We've touched on it. What did you think of the trailer? Like, where are you feeling? Like, you're a high public guy. You've read the books. You know the lore. You've got much more insight than most.
I've been excited. So we heard about this show. I think there was like a rumor about it that Leslie Headland would be doing a Star Wars show set before The Phantom Menace. It came out a few days before it was officially announced. It was officially announced, I think, May 4th, 2020. So we've known about it for almost 4 years. Mm. And, you know, I was intrigued by the idea pre-Phantom Menace. It's great that they're exploring another time period. It's great that they're tying it into the High Republic. And even with that, this gave me more prequel trilogy vibes than High Republic vibes.
Yep.
I love the notion that, you know, the Jedi think that everything is peachy keen. There's no evil. There's no problems
out
there. We've
done it. Job done.
Right. Because that's where they are in the prequels. And it will be interesting. I don't want it because I've seen a lot of people retweeting that guy who's like, first of all, Kitty Mundy is an idiot and is wrong about everything he said. But secondly, that was the point of the prequels where, and I didn't realize this until after I saw all the prequels, but the Jedi were wrong.
Yep.
In what they were doing and how they approached the rest of the galaxy. And there is this evil out there, and how does this evil grow and take root? And I want to see, okay, how can they say there's a person with red lightsaber out there and a bunch of Jedi are going up against them, but then also think the Sith are extinct? So it'll be, I have no doubt that they'll be faithful to that.
Yep.
I'm just very excited about this. And Leslie Headland, there were two articles out today, one with Collider, where she talked about, if she gets a season 2, it's ready to go.
Which is good. That's encouraging right away, isn't it? You're just like, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. Very, very happy to hear that. But the other was with StarWars.com, just talking about, you know, where she was coming from. And she said something like, it's not the show you think it is. And I really think there's a lot we're not seeing in the trailer. But it's going to be deeper than I think we think it is.
Yeah.
You know, who is, okay, Amanda Stenberg's character is the villain, but we know there are going to be two of them.
Yep.
Or at least two of them. So who's the other one? Where are these ties to the High Republic? Because like I said, other than for Nestra Roe, there are no other High Republic characters from the books that are going to be in this. And we only saw her like, you know, in a second in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So having her and just the era represented, that's going to be very interesting.
It's, I like the idea that if anything, again, we don't really know the finer details, but you know, when you think about where they are in The Phantom Menace, it just means that basically when this story is said and done, it's presented to them in a way where they are almost more smug than they were when they started. As in they kind of just like, oh man, we took care of that. Like we showed them we are the biz. Like we had a threat and we basically took care of it and well done. And it could just be that they're just being played they've been played even further back than they thought that they were as opposed to, you know, where they think they start being played. They're actually, it's even a longer game. The game is even longer.
Absolutely. And it is interesting because in the High Republic, they start, so phase one takes place, I think 150 years before Phantom Menace. Phase 2 is a prequel taking place 100 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jedi are very different. Things are like much more... I want to say, like, remember what Naboo was like in when you first saw it in The Phantom Menace and how everything was ornate and regal?
Yep.
And George's idea was that was like an artisanal time where by the time of the original trilogy, the universe or the galaxy became more utilitarian.
Yeah, sort of industrial. And,
you know, right, industrial. With the Jedi and the High Republic, it's the same way where, you know, Jedi spend forever sculpting lightsabers and they wear these ornate robes and they do a great job in the books. Like, they work together in teams and they use the Force together.
Yep. So like it's more like they're one... just sort of, sorry to interrupt, is it more just like, it's more regal and pretty because they're just not getting their hands dirty as often, or they're just, you know, because they work in groups, it's not just, it's not as functional, it's more ceremonial most of the time?
No, they're out there in the galaxy.
Yep.
And there are like outposts and temples, on all of these planets. And they're working with the Republic to grow throughout the galaxy because hyperspace exploration is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very much working hand in hand with the Republic. But like they're trying in the very first book, they're trying to use this like network of R2 type droids to replicate a computer model of this disaster to find out where the next disaster is going to happen. But these droids are all like outdoors and they're on this plane and it's too hot. So the Jedi, like, they use their powers together to create rain.
Yep.
And I realize that sounds kind of bizarre, but in the book reading it, it's really cool. But they do things like that together.
Yep.
And by the end of phase one, some very, very bad things happen to the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And to the Republic also. And so the beginning of phase three, their response to those bad things, okay, we're going to call everyone out from the temples throughout the galaxy. We're going to bring them back and base everyone on Coruscant. We're going to, you know, instead of, you're not going to be able to take forever to sculpt your lightsabers, you're going to have to make a lightsaber that's ready to go. We're making all the Padawans knights and things like that.
Cutting corners.
Right. They're cutting corners and working even more with the Republic to get to the point where you see them in The Phantom Menace.
Yep.
Because I think part of what George was saying in The Phantom Menace and the rest of the sequel trilogy or prequel trilogy, where the Jedi are not necessarily serving the Force as much as they're serving the Republic. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem.
Yep.
And you see that this kind of taking shape in the High Republic. And it's interesting. The other side of that is, and you kind of mentioned this, the Sith. What is the Sith doing? The Sith haven't been mentioned in the High Republic at all yet. If there is a Sith character, we don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we know, okay, they're waiting, they're building their power. If you've read, you know, Darth Plagueis or other legend stuff, you kind of have an idea of what they're doing, and that's canon until it's overwritten. But I'm really looking forward to seeing that part, that side of the equation too.
They're kind of gone from, I mean, not necessarily priests, but sort of them priests to cops. You know, they've kind of like,
yeah,
they've sort of gone from, it's almost like that sort of, yeah, like the church is this, and then all of a sudden the church has got a bunch of knights, or a bunch, you know, and all of a sudden they're out there waging wars and everything like that. Yeah, it's really fascinating. I love the idea, and it's, I think, like this show, and the criticism that Lucasfilm, I think, gets unfairly because the circumstances change of like, oh, you know, no plan, blah, 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 blah. This is a result of intricate long-term planning. Like it's a huge thing of books and comics and stories and all sorts of stuff of getting this thing to hit timelines at certain points and come out, and this story influences this story, and this, you know, a live action TV show has to come out at a very specific time as well. And it's, I know it's been sort of 4 years since it's been announced and stuff, but I think the production timeline has probably been pretty spot on to what they wanted to do. You know, even with a pandemic and a strike and everything that they've gone, and they've probably had moments where they've had to accelerate or deaccelerate certain other things around it, because it obviously has to drop at a very certain time, because, you know, people like you who already know the story also go, well, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, because it's drip fed me the only information I need to know at this point in order for this thing to take off.
Yeah, and while this takes place in the High Republic timeline, I don't know that it's going to necessarily answer or continue the High Republic thread in the books and the comics, because so this comes out in June and it will be over by August or the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
The High Republic Phase 3 won't end until next year.
Yep.
So the current story being told, we won't know what happened.
But I reckon there'll be bits in those books that'll come after that you're going, oh, like that ties into what we've actually seen on the, you know, they've just, yeah.
Yeah. But so like you're saying, I think they know what they're doing. They've planned this out because they've been working on this for so long. And yes, it's easy to say, I wish they had more of a plan, or they don't have a plan, especially when you go so long without movies. You have directors seemingly dropping out or losing projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that we can't say that that's going on, or that they, I don't want to say criticize, because they've got a lot going on. They're running a multi-million billion dollar business. Yeah. Billions. And so we can't say, just do this.
Yeah.
It's like, not
that easy.
You understand
the runway that it takes for these things that, yeah.
Right. Did you hear about this thing that came out? I think it was in Variety or something, because there's a big fight going on with control of Disney.
I saw something today. Didn't George Lucas come out and he kind of put his flag in the ground of where who he supported?
Yeah. Yeah, so he's Disney's largest shareholder. And
is he really? Was that part of the deal?
Yes, because of that deal, basically. So there's this rich guy who used to own Marvel. Disney bought Marvel from him. His name is Ike Perlmutter. He's not a nice guy. He's very old fashioned. He's the reason that they waited like so long to put out Captain Marvel. And, you know, he wanted movies only about people who looked like you and I.
Yeah.
And I knew people handsome who worked for dudes. Him. They said he was, yes. Handsome, handsome, handsome dudes. Yes. But no, I knew people who worked for him. They said he was not a nice guy, and just and so he's upset that Disney is moving in the direction it is. He wants this other guy to be the CEO, and so there's basically a proxy fight.
So
and
I assume George, he got shares as well, because he gave up Marvel. So he's got some clout.
Yeah,
yeah,
right, but not as much as George. So George put out this letter saying that I don't remember how the line went exactly, but he completely supports Iger and the current board. But there's a line like, it's not easy to be creative.
Yep.
He can't just have any idiot.
Yeah. It's not about
make
the numbers.
Magic.
Yeah. I've been in the studio right. system and long enough. I've dealt with the studio system a long time to know.
Right. Yeah. And you know, they also released a report as part of this last week, Disney did, saying what type of return on investment they've gotten out of each of their major properties. And Star Wars, including the money it took to buy Lucasfilm and production of the movies and TV shows, Star Wars has still made almost three times what they've put into it.
Yeah. Which is...
So while...
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. While we might not be getting everything on the schedule we want, they're still doing a lot of things right.
Oh, absolutely. Do you... I haven't really thought about this. Do you? I mean, I'm sure he does. Who do you think, like George's benefactor is when he passes away? Do you think it's his wife? I know it's easy to speculate, but that's a pretty big kitty. Like, if he's the largest shareholder of Disney, I know he actually got married not that long ago.
Yeah, and I think they had a kid.
Yeah. So
and he. He also has two other kids, so it'll probably, like, yeah, I, not that I think about this regularly, but I guess it would be split among them. But I also, I have a feeling George would be kind of like Bill Gates where he says, okay, yeah, I'm going to take care of my kids, but they're not getting most of what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to charities.
But as far as like the, you know, museums. If he's the largest Disney shareholder, I feel like that responsibility would, you know, who would that pass on to? Like, I assume it's his wife, because I know, you know, his wife is, you know, a very successful businesswoman, but she's also an African American lady. So all of a sudden an African American lady becomes the biggest shareholder at Disney. Quite good, I think, for them to, you know, get a couple of different voices in there as well. You know, hopefully George lives another, I mean, he's in his 80s or whatever he is. He's not going to live forever. One day the phone's going to light up and it's going to be a sad day for all of us. But it's quite interesting to sort of like legacy. I mean, he's obviously very concerned with legacy now, his museums and, you know, what do you leave after you've gone and everything. But I didn't know that the Disney thing, that's quite fascinating. I love the idea of a board power struggle. You know, because Bob Iger, he left, he walked away and came back because it was, you know, they were destroying, that other bloke was destroying his baby. He was picking fights.
Pretty much.
Picking fights with doing all sorts of stuff.
Right. And I don't know that Bob Iger has made every move the right way, especially in regards to the strike and some of the things that he said.
Yeah.
But he's doing a lot better job than Chapek.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, it's just fascinating, is it? It's really just sort of rich dudes pitted against each other. And like you said, the creativity is a very low thing. There was a funny story in Australia the other day. We have our Australian Football League just started, like our season just started. So it's like the big, you know, like when the NFL starts or whatever else, blah, blah, blah. But one of the things was that we have the Australian Football League, and basically all the different states have different football teams, and Melbourne, where it sort of originated, has the most teams in Victoria. And the state of Tasmania, which people will know is down the bottom, has never had a football team before. It was always like a little state, considered too small a market, even though it was always a traditional football state. They've always supported and played their game. So they decided that they were going to award them a license. So in 2 or 3 years, Tasmania is finally going to get a football team. They've been waiting 100 years. Great. What do you call the football team? Well, the most famous animal from Tasmania is the Tasmanian Devil, of course.
Right.
So that was sort of a given. And then this week they announced the colours and the logo and the name and everything. And of course it was the Tasmania Devils, and they were in their traditional state colours, which is green and whatever else. But the problem was at the time was that the copyright, or the sort of global copyright for the Tasmania Devil, actually already existed. And it was that Warner Brothers, you know, the thing. And at the time when it was sort of announced that they were going to have the club, they hadn't announced the name yet, but people going, well, obviously it'll be the Tasmania Devils. It's sort of like the animal from there. It's unique and blah, blah. And it kind of came out that the copyright was owned by Warner Brothers. You know, there was a bunch of Australian politicians going, oh, well, you know, it's our bloody animal. So anyway, long story short, they got the name. It's the Tasmania Devils. They showed the mascot. And the president of the club was talking about the negotiations with Warner Brothers. They said we had to basically talk to the executives at Warner Brothers. I don't think it's quite... What's his name? Who's the guy who runs Warner Brothers now that everybody hates?
Is it Zaslav or something?
Yeah, the guy who's cancelling movies. They said that...
Yeah, he's throwing movies in the trash.
Yeah, they said that basically the negotiations with Warner Brothers went a lot smoother and a lot quickly when they discovered or were told that it's actually a real animal.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. They couldn't understand why they would want to name their football team after they assumed they just wanted to name it after their blah, 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 you know, thing. And they went, right. No, dude, it's an animal that has existed forever. You can't actually copyright flora and fauna as well. So you've got to give it off. You've got to give us the name. There's not much you can do about it. But, you know, it won't be the guy with the little, you know, Taz with the t-shirt on or whatever it is.
Spinning around everywhere. But I'm sure they'll still make something that people will buy merch of.
I'm sure that there'll probably be some. They'll probably, you know, if there's an opportunity to make money, I'm sure that there'll be some weird sort of tie-in and things. But
right.
Yeah. So, Acolyte. It's here in a few weeks. All of a sudden, we get a brand new Star Wars. This is brand new. This is the most brand new that we've had. Is this the most brand new Star Wars thing that we've had ever?
I think so, because it's not...
It's got nothing. It's got no... I mean, I guess maybe Yoda?
Yoda could be in it. Yaddle. A few of the other Jedi Council members from episode one. But yeah, it really... They're not selling it that way.
No.
And, you know, that's something I haven't thought about, and that's a really good thing, because not only, we're getting this, and then later this year, we're getting Skeleton Crew, which is also something totally new.
Mm. But, I mean, this has no, nothing. Like, I'm running my head back through projects. Like, Mandalorian, obviously, takes place, Return of the Jedi, it's got a lot of ties, Ahsoka, existing characters, Andor, existing characters, Book of Boba Fett, existing characters, Solo, the movie, the sequel trilogy films, this is the blankest slate since original Star Wars, since I think A New Hope, as far as going in and not knowing any connection to the characters. Like you said, even if you've read the books, there might be one character currently that you know is in there. It's quite the blank slate, which is exciting.
I hope they... Yeah, I think it's very exciting. This is what Star Wars needs to do. And I hope they find a way to communicate to people who don't pay as much attention as you or I do that, hey, this takes place 175 years before episode one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if they have to have Kathy Kennedy come out and say it before the episode. Star Wars
and black screen, then Kathy walks out. Hi, I'm Kathleen Kennedy. I'm the president of Lucasfilm. The Acolyte is an exotic story. She just has one of those like little the stands with the, she just pulls the page over the thing and
she needs a pointer stick.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
She's just got some figures and things.
General Madine and his band staff pointing to like a timeline or something.
She's like, this is where we are. Yeah. We're here. Yep. I think it'll be like some texts of saying, you know, the Jedi were once a blah, 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 blah. There'll be some scene setting, I think, but they obviously don't do it. Yeah, they don't give a lot of context, but it should be enough, hopefully. Look it up.
Right.
If you need to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you'll just... I always kind of, when a new Star Wars thing drops, I just sort of... I'm sure you're the same. You're the Star Wars guy, either in your family or your group of friends. And a few text messages might come your way. You know, what's this all about? Who's this person?
Where's that guy who looks like Boba Fett?
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get some of that.
Yeah. It's like, no, it's a whole new thing. But I am all for the Kathy Kennedy just walking out. Hi, I'm Lucasfilm's Kathy Kennedy. I love the idea of a blank slate. And hopefully we see some stuff. We see some merch. We see some...
Oh, yeah, that... Yeah.
Some figures.
Some of like the Wookiee Jedi. I'm really looking forward to that.
So. Yeah. There is a Wookiee Jedi in the books.
In the High Republic, there is.
It's not the same one, though.
Yeah. No, it's a different one. And that is Buryaga in the High Republic. And they released his name today. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Yeah.
The higher or the Acolyte one. But totally different.
More Wookiees. And that's... Eunice as well, who played Chewie?
Yes. Yeah, he's playing this new one. Yeah.
Oh, good. He can just be the go-to Wookiee guy. I think that's you know, I don't think anyone's going to mind too much if you played two Wookiees.
I'm sure he's always wanted to swing around a lightsaber.
Yeah, well, I mean,
how cool is that for him?
I mean, you get to be Chewbacca, and you get to take over an iconic role, and probably in the best way possible, where you were sort of given the blessing of the guy who did it before, you know, Force Awakens, where it was sort of like, well, Peter's going to do what he can, and anything that he can't do because of his mobility, Eunice will do it. And then he took over the role and kind of perfectly, seamlessly, everybody was very happy, respectfully. Like, does it get any better than this? It's like, wow, now you can have a lightsaber.
Yeah, do you want to have, how would you like a lightsaber?
God, could you imagine how hot it would be running around swinging a lightsaber in a Wookiee costume?
Oh, yeah.
There'd be commitment.
Worth it, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's a really cool cast as well. I sort of, Carrie Ann Moss, obviously, the guy from Squid Game, the guy from The Good Place as well. I've forgotten all their names. I saw the thing before, but really great, diverse cast, really... interesting people. Yeah, bring it on, I say.
Yep.
I love new, exciting, unknown stuff.
Yeah. Take a chance and I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go
take
ahead.
A chance. Get it, like, put it out there. Try something different. Like, if she's already thinking second series, that's exciting. So hopefully...
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. Would you like to just see them take the risk and cliffhanger it and hope for the best? Or do we kind of need to wrap this thing at least comfortably?
I don't remember exactly what she said, but she addressed that. And I was pretty sure she said there won't be... And I don't know if she said story cliffhangers or emotional cliffhangers.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what we know or what we've been told at the end of this. You know, what conversation we'd be having at the end of the last episode with, okay, this is what knowledge this show passed down to us. This is the history, the lore.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see where we are from that standpoint. But
and it's got,
she's saying all the right things for me.
Yeah. And you know, she's experienced as well. She's done a bunch of TV and quality TV as well. And I'm sure she knows how to play the game. And it's just interesting to see. Like, it looks like Ahsoka is going to get a second season. I just keep them running, I say. Like, it's good to make new stuff, but if something's sort of hitting, and I think this will be a slow build, and it's going to have detractors, of course, because people detract, but I think it'll also appeal to people who kind of go, I feel like I've kind of seen everything Star Wars has given me so far. So, I hopefully it falls into that Andor thing where it's not as your traditional Star Wars. The tone's probably different, but the quality is higher and demands more of you as a viewer as well, which I think I'm all for that. And some lightsabers, please. Mm.
Yes, definitely lightsabers.
The more the merrier. So what else is going on in your Star Wars life, Tom? What else has happened?
I'm trying to think. You know, I've been watching your videos recently. You know, I was just at home flicking. We have a Google Chromecast, and I'm going through the recommendations, and it recommended a Star Wars spelt out video. I didn't even realize you were doing these, about your collection to collect the whole original Kenner lineup. And congratulations, because you're pretty much
very close, very close. Done. Yeah. Well, I'd sort of something I'd always wanted to do. And I always had a couple. I've got a couple of the leftovers from when I was a kid that sort of survived at my parents' house. And then I basically have a little part of my shelf where I've got a bunch of like Return of the Jedi, Jedi Luke Skywalker. That's my favorite era Luke. That's like, you know, when I was five, that was the thing. So I've got a sort of assortment of different stuff that's come out, figures and things. So I've got a couple of Black Series. I've got the original Kenner one that I bought on card during the pandemic when you make crazy purchases. And I've got like a Fig Arts one and a couple of just random, you know, things that are on there. And I've got, and basically around Christmas time, there was a guy who was on Marketplace who was selling the Endor Luke's, which was like one of the last 17 ones. And it wasn't too expensive. It was like $60 Australian, I think, which is a lot for a loose figure, but not now I've learned actually isn't that bad. And I just thought, oh, you know what? And I got some money for my birthday. And I thought, you know what? I think I'll just get that. And it'll look really good up on the shelf. And I'll get that and got that. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just sort of sparked the thing of going, oh, maybe this is the year I start having a look around. And you start looking at Facebook Marketplace and stuff. And there was a guy selling a lot. And he had about 40, 45 figures. And it wasn't too bad. And I thought, well, that'll be a good sort of starting off point, and then I can just slowly increment. And then, as you've seen, if you've watched the videos, it all just sort of started ramping up. And I've got friend of the show, Matt Moll, who's in Sydney, is very much a bad influence and was sending me links and enabling me and encouraging me to sort of do things and spend money. It's been good fun. And I kind of thought, well, I'll just video it, because I don't really do much videos for the site. And I was mucking around with some software on the laptop anyway to do video stuff, because I was thinking about doing more just videoing, even just the podcast stuff. So I thought, oh, this will give me a chance to try to figure out how to get that to work. And it's really just me getting stuff from the mail and opening it up and going, oh, look, it's a, you know, It's a nine num or whatever it is, which has been quite fun, except for the one video, I don't know if you've seen, Tom, where one was, they're all so meticulously packed and wrapped in individual bubble wrap.
Yes, that it took forever.
It took me about a minute and a half.
Waiting for Han to melt out of the carbon.
Oh my God. And I was really conscious. I didn't want to go too crazy with the scissors and chop their heads off or do something. But yeah, so it's very close. So I've got them up on the shelf at the moment. I can't quite, can I... Oh, actually, you've seen a photo. I don't need to send it. I think I sent you a picture. Yeah. So I got some stands from Temu that came in, and I sort of put them all up and got the foot stands and everything. And it's a bit crowded, so I've ordered another one so I can space them out a bit more. I'm gonna have to move a few things around, but yeah, I've effectively got two figures that haven't arrived yet, and that's Warrock, everyone's favorite Warrock.
Okay.
Way too. Hard to find for an Ewok, really. And this, I've just got him, like, he's got nothing. He's just the bear. He's got no headdress. He's got no bow and arrow. He's got nothing. And the other one is Yak Face. And Tom, you can be the first to know that I have bought Yak Face. He has not arrived. He's in transit. So the next video I have, he will be turning up. And this is the reason I did it was because I had, which I completely forgotten about, some crappy cryptocurrencies that I got years ago. Not like, we're not talking 20 years ago. We're talking a few years ago that did nothing. And then in the last few weeks, cryptocurrencies done this surge. And I thought, I think I'll just go check on my wallet. And there was like money in there. It was nothing. And it was, I'm going, you know what? I'm just going to sell that. And it was, you know, a few hundred dollars. And that will pay for, there was a guy on eBay who was selling a loose Yak Face for a certain amount of money, and I offered it a lower amount of money and he took it, and that's nice. So the next video will probably be when Yak Face turns up. I'm waiting for, Warrock is coming from France.
that might be a while.
I bought him from a French eBay bid, which meant that not many people bid on him. So it actually almost cost me as much in postage as it did for the figure. But I'll do the two of those. And I've actually got a Millennium Falcon from a local seller that I've never had.
Nice.
And it was a really, really, really good price. And it was the box. It's in a box in an acrylic case as well. And the case was worth probably half what I even just paid for the whole thing. It's not the best condition, but I kind of looked at my display area and went, oh yeah, I think it'll fit in there. And I go, oh, well, I can just, what I'll do is I'll Google the case and just, it'll have the dimensions and I'll be able to figure out how big it is. I'm way off. I don't know where I'm going to put this thing. The box is huge. I think the box is like 50 centimeters high or something, and my shelving is like 30 something. I'm going, oh, all right. That's
the new shelf.
I'm going, maybe I need to just get a whole new shelf and redo the whole thing. So, yeah, it's been good fun. So there'll be little bits and bobs. If I can get little things for some of the figures, I'd like the Ewoks to have their hoods and stuff, and it'd be nice to have some of the capes and things. But to be honest, like, people going, oh, you're going to get all the weapons and the accessories? When I was just setting them up, and there was a few that, it was probably only 10% that had their accessories, just getting them to hold them was a bloody nightmare.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. And then some of the, like, the little backpacks, they break.
Yeah.
Even as a kid, I remember those, the white backpacks, the Hoth backpacks. I think I did some, like, giveaway or mail away where you got, like, a dozen of them.
Yep.
And every one of them, you got to get, like, the little things through the notch.
And a little groove. I don't know how you get it out. So I think once it's on almost as well. It's almost like a zip tie. You know those ones that they, like, zip tie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the thing breaks. But I had probably about a dozen of the ones I grew up with didn't get thrown out.
Same.
And over the past 5 or so years, I've been slowly, like, if I'm at a show and I see some, or a store that has some for sale, I'll pick them up. And I'm more focusing on characters I like rather than
just the whole lot. Yeah,
I'd love to get the whole lot one day, but there are just some that,
it
don't
just
need
accelerated
it right now.
Like I it was just happening so fast, and if I saw a deal, I'd go, all right, well, that's a good deal, I should just do that. And then I just found myself on a Dutch toy store, you know, looking through things because I'm doing converting euros in my head going, oh, these are only, you know, €3 a figure. If I do, that's only like $6 or $7 a figure just for, and I wasn't too concerned. Like I said, they had to just be able to stand up and not be absolutely terrible shape. Didn't matter if they didn't have the weapons and things. So I've gone, oh, you know, if I get X amount and that'll cover the postage and everything else. And yeah,
I've cleaned up the ones I've gotten. I mean, most of them have been in pretty good condition. I've cleaned them up and I've read that, you know, this spray that you use on like your dashboard, mm-hmm. that's good to put on it to protect them, to keep the Stormtroopers and Scout Troopers from getting yellow. Yeah. Armorall. That's what it is. Yeah. I've been doing that. And then the other thing I've been getting, that I loved, the micro collections, original the Kenner ones. They had the small die cast figures, and then they did some like an X-Wing and a TIE Fighter, and then they did Hoth, Bespin, and the Death Star. And so I have the complete Death Star, the complete Hoth, and the X-Wing and TIE Fighter. And the one thing about that is, and I think this might be where you and I are different, the TIE Fighter came without stickers. So I bought repro stickers and put them on.
Yeah, I haven't gone down. I was looking, you know, I was talking about getting that Warrock figure. And he hasn't got his hood. And I was looking on like eBay, and there was a guy saying like $120 he wanted for the hood. And I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm buying that. And I'm going, but there were some repo hood. I'm like, if I can avoid it for the time being, it's more just if they get mixed in, I'm just gonna, you know, not be able to keep track of them and stuff. Oh, the thing was like one of the more expensive things that I did buy, which sort of went against everything that I was going to do, was I got a Jedi Luke Skywalker with the blue lightsaber. So which is what sort of like, because I think, you know, standard one was he came with the green one, obviously. And then I think very early on he had a blue one, and they're quite hard to come by. And I'd sort of, the price was a lot, but I did some research and it was good for what it was, and I got it, and you know, like, great. All right, I'm going to commit. And I did the thing and I set him up and did all the stuff. And then as I sort of set him up, I looked over onto like out of the corner of my eye on my shelf, and I had a retro collection Obi-Wan Kenobi from the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. And he's holding blue lightsaber. And I've gone, and I went and I grabbed it and I put them right back, right next to each other just to sort of compare. And there are differences, like the handle sticker, and I'm not even sure if it even says 2000 and whatever on it, 224 on the other one. But I did look at it and kind of go, there is no way looking over there that you can tell that any difference that one is, because that's essentially what you're paying for is the lightsaber, because they only ever did blue one that they did in that style, like the hold in the hand. I think Obi-Wan had the, you know, the one up the sleeve, what is it, the telescopic one or whatever they call it. And I kind of go, what is this weird flag that I've planted that I've done that for some reason I've taken some kind of moral stand on? But is the die-cast ones, because I saw one the other day and I remembered I had a friend who had it, and I had a bit of a look at it even though I wasn't, the TIE Fighter, you push the top and it kind of falls apart, was it that, are they those?
Yeah, there's a button on the back and the wings kind of
go all loose and
wobble off. And the X-Wing I think does something similar too. You hit a button on the back and the nose kind of falls off. And they also came back in the day, they came with battle damage stickers. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
And you put those on and it looks like someone, it just doesn't, I did not like them. I put them on one of my toys growing up and I instantly regretted it.
I don't care for this battle.
I'm glad the ones, I'm glad the ones I have did not have those applied, because I think those were also pretty tough to get off too.
Yeah. There was a guy, I got a Tauntaun the other day. And he was selling stuff out of a lot, and it was quite affordable. It was the open belly one too. And he, one of the other things he had was the TIE Fighter. And I think he only went like $15 for it. And because I was going, I'm already paying for the postage of the Tauntaun, maybe I should just get it. And I kind of talked myself out of it, because I'm going, well, I haven't really got any of that other stuff. It doesn't really fit with the rest of the collection. But I do remember a friend of mine having the, you know, you'd push the thing and it would all like you said, it would sort of go limp basically.
Yeah. Right. And one of the wings folds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm really regretting I should have got it. I think it's too late. He messaged me yesterday to saying he was going to post out. So I think it's the moment has passed, but that's okay. Yeah,
if you get it cheap, it's worth it.
Well, that was
it's
the thing. I was like, oh, it's only $15, and that's Australian too, which is pretty good. So, yeah, I think from this point on, I'm pretty happy with everything. Like I said, I wouldn't mind a couple of the characters to get their capes or their coats, like Lando, and could really use it. And I got a spare cape for Leia and the Tusken Raider, which really helps them look a bit better. And it was funny actually, because my mum and dad came up the other day for a wedding. They were staying with us, and I think that the last time they'd stayed, I think they saw the box of all the random Star Wars figures and things, and they've gone, "Oh, are they all yours?" And I said, "Oh no, I bought some, and some of the ours from." And she said, "Oh, I was at home the other day, and I was going through a drawer, and I found a coat which I think is a Star Wars figure one. It's like it looks like a camouflage kind of thing, and I think it's the Leia Endor coat because we had that figure." And she goes, I just found it in a drawer. It's still there. And I said, oh, great. Well, when I come home, to get the original one, it's been sitting in a drawer for 30 years or something, or whatever it is. Because we had a few of the figures, but they were always sort of sitting around somewhat prominently in my old room. They just sort of sit on a shelf waiting for one day to be loved again. But that, I assumed that cloak is long gone. So that's quite cool.
Yeah, that is. I just wish that you're going to never invite me back. I wish that they smelled the way they did when I was a kid, because that was one of my favorite things.
New toy smell. Oh,
they had this.
Yeah.
It's specifically this Kenner Star Wars toys. They had this very sweet smell.
I didn't go around
like sticking them up my nose or anything, but I just remembered.
I know exactly really what you mean. I absolutely know. Yeah. I wonder if because I've got the reissues. I've got the New Hope, the Empire, and the Jedi reissues. I wonder if you opened them up, they would smell the same. I like to feel Hasbro gets a lot of stuff wrong. But yes, I'd like to think that if they were in a board meeting and they said, hey, we're going to do, and it's like, someone like, can we get that scent? Can we just find, even if it doesn't, even if it's not part of the production process, can we just, before we seal the bubble up, can we get a little like, ch-ch-ch?
Yeah.
And then we can sell it colognes at celebrations, and you can smell like, get that new Kenner smell.
Yeah. So Kenner was based in Cincinnati where I moved. They worked in this building downtown that my wife worked in for a while and everything. So
can you go look in the bins and see if there's anything left over?
Yeah, that's what I would love to do. And about a mile from my house, this place opened up last year. It's like the Cincinnati Toy Museum or something like that. And it's like all Kenner stuff, but they don't. I think right now they're just guys building a collection because they say one day we're going to have tours. And I've emailed asked, but I haven't heard anything back. They're not doing anything to the public yet, but I need to get in there and smell those
toys. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have a conversation with someone about that.
You go through and you do it like, well, it was really fun, but the smell wasn't right. Where's the feedback form? Right. Where's the suggestion box? I just drop that into the... Yeah, you could do like car air fresheners. You know, you could hang it from your window. You can have a little... like.
I would
people go buy
so
car
many
smell.
Of those.
It's like, oh, no, it just smells like new Kenner. Like I've just cracked
old
open
toy smell.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing. Like I've got the original ones that I've still got. So like my Darth Vader is the original and he's been naked for a really, really long time. So I'd like to get him a cloak and a lightsaber, but I'm going, if I can get him a real one, I'm probably going to have to get a complete one, you know, strip him off and put the cloak on my original Vader.
Then
do something like mark the other one so I don't get them mixed up or something. So I always make sure I've got the...
Yeah. My Obi-Wan is the same way. It's mine that I grew up with. No lightsaber, no vinyl cape.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, oh, well, if the Leia poncho is actually the OG Leia poncho, that's great. That'll be literally the only accessory that survived. None of those other ones definitely had nothing else that came with them. To think that an accessory, which are always the first things that you lose.
Yeah,
to get lost in the thing. Well, it's funny because I was on, I was going through when I was putting them up. I know we're about to wind up here, and I was digging through the box where I'd been keeping everything, and I was like pulling out the weapons are all sort of at the bottom, and I've got this little checklist thing that Turbo gave me where it's like the photo of the figure and all the accessories. So I've been able to mark off as I go all the things I've got. And I've gone, okay, here's this blaster. Okay, yep, that's Four Lom's blaster. Okay, yep, I'll give that to him. Oh, that's IG-88. Yep, that's his. Got it. And I got to the very last one, and there was this blaster in there. And I've gone, oh, I can't. What is that? I'm like, oh, is it the Biker Scout one? No. And I was looking at the thing and I couldn't find it. I go, that was in the box, and that's really weird. And so I went on to one of the collecting groups in Australia and just took a photo of it and said, hey, like, this was in the box with everything else. Does anybody know who this belongs to? It's on the checklist. And someone's going, oh, is it this? Like, no. No. Is it a repro? I was like, no, that's not it. Have you tried this? And then eventually somebody goes, I found out what it is. It's the blaster that comes with the retro series Obi-Wan, the one I was talking about before. And it must have just somehow fallen from another shelf into the box of the other stuff, or whether I've just picked it up with other things and, you know, it's just gone into the bottom.
And you think it's this great find.
Yeah, and I've gone, it's not. And I've gone, you know what? I just gave it to Luke X-Wing because it looks like a Luke blaster from a distance, even though it's slightly different. So there is a repro. Well, it's not technically a repro because it's an original weapon. It's not one of the other ones. So that's the way I
look at it. But,
just like that, Tom, we burn through time. Just time, you know, time is a construct. I know Sith List usually goes as long as it has to.
But our intros do, at least.
Yeah, right. But this is Sith List. We probably wouldn't have even got to Les right now. We'd probably still be, you know, talking about Booze Week or something like that. But obviously, you're a big part of the Sith List. You're the Star Wars guy, you and Struthers. But do you want to tell people about what you've been up to and about the pod and anything else you've got going on?
Yeah, we record every Wednesday. Araj releases new Sith List episodes on Thursday. We have Patreon shows. I do shows for that. I also am on Patreon for Blue Harvest and Steel Wars. And you can find me on Blue Sky and Twitter at Tom Chansky if you want more of my nonsense. I promise I won't be weird about how Kenner toys used to smell or anything like that.
We didn't even get onto X-Men or Weezer as well, which is two of your other passions. Oh, so you have to come back again and we can cover that stuff in more detail another time. But a pleasure to have you as always, mate. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.